Gag, who drives it through.
We hit the high notes on the park. That's how we became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, if they catch. The super sub has done it again, and Motherwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To a good deflection! And it goes! Misjudged by Bell! Fir Park! Twisting! Shouting! Shouting!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Today myself, Jay and Buster are joined by Joe Smith. It's been a long time.
Yeah.
Welcome along.
How's it going? Glad to be back on, chaps.
It's good to have you. Pretty drab affair at Fir Park yesterday, a 1-1 draw with Ross County. Jay, on the back of the international break, we had went into that on some sort of run of form, I guess, a positive run of form, given that we advanced in the cup and beat Kilmarnock at 1-0 at Fir Park. But this one just really didn't get going, did it?
No, and to be honest, I think that neither did the game against East Fife or Kilmarnock, really. I mean, you know, although we get the points against Kilmarnock, it wasn't the best Motherwell performance you've seen, and it certainly wasn't on Saturday. It was a drab affair all over, you know, throughout for both teams. It was a really, really poor game. It's one of those ones when you score a last minute equaliser, it can kind of, you know, I don't know, give a false sense of security. People can go away relieved or quite satisfied that they managed to get a last minute equaliser, but in reality we were just quite poor. We had the chances to win the game, but overall I just thought it was quite a poor game overall, and we just kind of lacked. It was quite lacklustre. It didn't seem as though, you know, it was our home game, it should have been our game to go and win, and although we did create one or two chances, there just seemed to be something missing. You know, Dom Thomas has created a little bit of a creative spark last week, and when he came off the bench against East Fife, but he seemed a lot quieter on Saturday, and I just thought overall it was just a pretty poor game. And I think that, you know, the joy of getting a last minute equaliser can kind of make people forget that it was just pretty dire.
Buster, I saw a few people directly related to the club today posted on Twitter that they felt that the match reports were misconstrued, that Ross County were very, very good and we were very, very poor. I would tend to agree with that in the sense that I didn't think County were up to much themselves, but they got their noses in front and they never really looked particularly under any pressure from our attackers. They did concede the late goal, but for me, it was a very poor performance, and I would say the match reports are pretty accurate in that regard.
I've not managed to catch any of the match reports, but about yourself, if they're saying that we were pretty poor, they're being generous, because we were awful, absolutely awful. Yeah, Ross County, as you says, weren't they much better, to be fair, but the game in general was absolutely terrible, as Jay says as well. I was watching the highlights not long ago there, and there's nothing really that good I can pick out other than maybe Louis Moult, you know, runs about like a blue ass fly, but he's left himself there, and there's not really any sort of, you know, particular highlights or anything for the actual game.
Joe, I think Buster summed it up there. Is in terms of spectacle, it was one of the worst games I've seen in a long time.
Well, I think the biggest problem that I've sort of observed in the last couple of games has been the centre of midfield. It seems to be that we're playing with only Keith Lasley in the centre of midfield. I mean, Taylor has been absolutely anonymous alongside him. And I think that's where a lot of the problems are stemming from, in terms of the lack of spectacle. You've got a couple of wingers there with Ainsworth and Thomas, and what they're relying on is they're relying on a bit of service. Taylor, constantly, every time he got the ball, he was facing their own goalkeeper, and he played a backward pass. No creativity to get the ball forward. And Ripley as well, I think, is a wee bit culpable as well, because he seems to be, every time that he's got a hold of the ball, he only wants to play a route one football to Louis Moult. So the game's completely bypassing our midfield, which is stifling our ability to get the ball out to the wingers. And it makes for an absolutely drab spectacle.
Jay, we mentioned Taylor there. He's certainly not impressed in his early stages at Fir Park. For me, it was an absolutely atrocious decision to include him in the starting 11 yesterday. You had Jack Leach, who played well against Kilmarnock, dropping completely out of the squad, not even benched, out of the 18. It's just, we've talked about the poor man management in terms of the way he's brought in new players and favoured them over existing squad members. In Leach's case, it's a young guy trying to make his break in the first team. It'll be a huge blow for his confidence being dropped yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, whenever something like this gets discussed, you'll get people saying, oh, hindsight's a wonderful thing and stuff like that. But I suppose the good thing about the podcast is that, you know, it's there on record that we've said this for a couple of weeks now. I mean, Jake Taylor, as Joe says, has been anonymous. I don't know what it is he's really supposed to be offering. You know, when he first came in, you read about him, you thought, okay, he's got a bit of pedigree, sounds half decent. I don't know whether it's simply a case of that he's completely underestimated the Scottish game, or whether he's just here to relax for a couple of months, or he just isn't that good. But he's not offering anything. And at the end of the day, you've got to say that someone like Jack Leach has already shown more this season, has already shown that he can provide more, that he can be more efficient in that role than Jake Taylor has done, you know, in any game he's played. It's just a bizarre signing, especially when we then go and get Grimshaw. You know, it's a recurring theme now that we're talking about the signing policy, but that again to me seems to be another example of, all right, I've signed someone who perhaps isn't actually as good as I thought they were going to be, so I'll bring someone else in now. Jake Taylor, for me, just hasn't impressed. He hasn't been good enough. That's not to say he might not come on to a game. You know, it could still be that he's just he's taking a while to settle, but yeah, he shouldn't be in the team. He's not good enough. There's a couple of players who are in the team who shouldn't be, because they're not playing well enough, whether it's because of reputation or because they're favourites at Barraclough or whatever it is, I'm not sure. But Taylor's certainly one of them.
First, I said in the podcast last week, I really hoped that the starting 11 would begin to settle down and there would be a wee bit of consistency to Barraclough's squad selection, not the continuous picking of favourites, but it kind of almost levelling out. As such, we seem to make drastic changes every week, but again, two big changes yesterday. I think Kieran Kennedy can consider himself very unfortunate to drop out the starting 11. A lot would argue that Stephen Harrell, being such a loyal servant and a consistent performer for Motherwell, deserve to win his place back. But it's certainly not helping the fact that we are making sweeping changes going into every game.
Well, you say it might not be helping, but when you watch that first goal we lost yesterday, if you take a right good look at it, I don't know what McManus was doing. McManus and Lang yesterday, the two of them were absolutely awful in my opinion. Oh, sorry, was it yesterday? I'm sorry, I forget what day it is. The two of them were absolutely awful. In that first goal, the ball gets punted into the box and McManus immediately tries to wrestle with his, you know, he moves back to try to wrestle with Boyce or whoever it was, and it ends up in sort of Stevie Hamill comes in and goes to the ball. The three of them end up on the flare basically, and the ball hits half somebody and comes across the goal and they score. I've never seen Louis Lang or Steve McManus win a header all day. I don't know what the deal is. I mean, the two of them are absolutely honking yesterday, and as you say, if you know, I never witnessed Kennedy playing, to be fair, but I never heard anything you know, terrible about him, so I don't know why he's suddenly losing his place. You've got Stevie Hamill, if he's come straight back into the team as well, if Chalmers had played well enough, I don't see the point in him dropping out, unless he's, you know, maybe got an injury or something. But as I say, you know, I wasn't present, so I can't really comment on that, but it's certainly not going to help if we're constantly meeting, you know, two changes out of four at the back.
What I would say though, Joe, yesterday is that the substitutions that Ian Barraclough made were fairly effective. Scott McDonald hooked at half time. We'll get on to his performance in a bit more depth later on, but he took him off and brought on Theo Robinson. Then later on, Marvin Johnson replaced Dom Thomas, and Johnson certainly made an impact, setting up Louis Moult for his equalising goal.
I mean, I think Johnson definitely needed to be dropped, and I think it's the right thing to do as well, getting Dom Thomas around the games. Obviously, he's going to have good games and he's going to have bad games. He's a young player. You can't expect him to turn it on every single week and be playing really, you know, top draw football week in, week out. But probably gain him 60 minutes, particularly if he's not started the best, gain him 60 minutes and then hooking him. If you've got that luxury, it's the right thing to do. But I think Johnson showed yesterday a wee bit more appetite when he came on, and he had a couple of chances through the game. Robinson, I don't know. I'm not so sure this guy's a player. He strikes me as being a wee bit, dare I say, Omar Daly-esque, and the fact that he gets himself into good positions. The ball comes, it seems to stick to his feet for the first time, and then just wants to go anywhere near any of the players with his second touch. And towards the end, I think after we'd equalised, they'd have can't. The semblance of a chance just after we'd equalised, and he didn't look like he was willing to shoot. He just seemed scared of shooting. That's which I find bizarre for a striker.
Yeah, Jay, he does seem to get slightly lost when he enters the penalty box. I think quite a lot of his runs that he was making were useful, and it does look like he's got a bit of ability, but in terms of striking prowess, he doesn't seem very confident in and around the penalty box.
Well, I mean, he's certainly a handful. I think that, you know, his pace and running at players, and there was a couple of times he seemed to be trying to bulldoze his way into the penalty box. So I think he's certainly got something about him that, you know, defenders will have a hard time with him, if he's coming off the bench or whatever. In terms of confidence in front of goals, in front of the goal, he could just be one of those kind of players, you know, maybe he just needs a goal and that'll set him on his way. I've not seen enough of him to really comment too much on that side of his game. The jury's still out. I've not been too impressed with him. Again, though, that's partly because I'm still trying to work out why we've got so many strikers in the first place. I do think he's surplus to requirements anyway, so he's going to have to do something special for that opinion to change. But, you know, it could be one of those ones where if he gets a goal, he'll maybe start to, you know, find his eye for goal a little better. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to really judge when you're throwing when you're bringing in another striker on top of who we've already got, and then once again, it looks as though David Clarkson is destined to never ever be used.
I think it's a bit surprising though that he scored through the week for the under-20s. You would have thought that would have maybe boosted his confidence going into the proper stuff on a Saturday, but if anything, he looked more shot-shy than he did the previous week against Bolton. So I don't know what it is in terms of his lack of confidence. Maybe he thought that he had scored in the under-20s and he would went straight into the team. Watching Scott McDonald, he's got every reason to think that he should have a chance. But I was disappointed to see how unadventurous he was when he got the ball in and around the penalty area, that's for sure.
I was going to say, sorry, I thought he was actually not too bad. As you say, there's once or twice he could have maybe had a shot, but he came on, he looked lively. He does look a bit gangly, to be fair, you know, like, and as Jay says, there's points where he just tried to run through three players, but I thought he looked a bit lively and gave us maybe a wee bit of spark that we needed. And just come back as well to the substitutions Barraclough made and things like that. The thing that I noted as well for the goal, the boy Grimshaw, looked as if he's got a wee bit of ability. I mean, he was only in for 6 minutes or something, but he came on, he looked as if he's got a wee bit of ability. He was involved in the build-up to the goal as well. When the changes were made at half-time, we changed for our usual 4-5-1 monstrosity that we've been stuck with all season, and we went with two strikers up front. And again, don't get me wrong, the performance wasn't exactly 100% better, but we had something going forward, and we got a goal at it.
Yeah, I should have mentioned Grimshaw, who, despite giving a cameo appearance, certainly did very well in his 6 or 7 minutes in the park, Buster.
Yeah, he did, and as I say, he was involved in the goal. He looks as if he's got a wee bit of abilities. You know, he got the break of the ball at one point when he was involved, but you know, he looks as if he's got quick feet. He looks as if he's a decent player. So we're moaning about Jake Taylor being anonymous. It'd be good to see, you know, maybe him in there with Lansley and see what happens, you know, if we change up our formation or if we stick with our 4-5-1 next week or whatever, but we'll see what happens.
That certainly takes us on nicely to Scott McDonald. Jay, you were very vocal about, well, amongst us, you weren't shouting and screaming and demanding that you never pulled on a jersey again, but he's been off colour all season. Numerous poor performances. Is that really improved since his poor penalty at Inverness for me? I think if he'd maybe hit the ground running, despite playing out of position, he'd have got that wee boost that he needed to push on, but it's not happened. Dean Barraclough continues to persist with him, maybe thinking that, like a lot of us have hoped, that he'll come good. It's not happening. Hooked at half-time yesterday, by all accounts, took a fair huff after his substitution. What do we do with McDonald? It's not working. Do we change the formation up and accommodate him in a two-man striking role, or does he get dropped for next week? That's what I would certainly do, but it's not my decision, I suppose.
Well, it's something that we seem to be saying on a weekly basis. McDonald has not been effective in that role, even slightly. He's been completely, the game just completely passes him by. He has no impact on the game. He's not forward enough to be a goal threat. He's not involved in the midfield enough to link up the play. He spends most of his time, you know, moaning or just being in a bit of a huff. It's incredible that we've got to this part of the season and we're still talking about a game in which Scott McDonald has started in that position. I can't believe that Barraclough keeps persisting with it when it is clear to, I would imagine, the majority of Motherwell fans that it simply doesn't work. Now, yeah, you could put him up front and go two up front. I would only do that if Barraclough is already planning to go two up front. We don't change our formation for one player. If Barraclough wants to play the 4-5-1 monstrosity, as Buster calls it, then he should be looking for someone who can actually play in that role, because it's blatantly obvious McDonald can't do it. I don't know whether it's because McDonald, you know, just can't play that position. You know, he's an out-and-out striker and he simply can't adapt to that position, or I don't know if it's because he just doesn't want to. You know, we've mentioned before the fact that when he joined, he said that the reason he left Millwall was because he wasn't prepared to play in an attacking midfield role. Regardless of the reasoning though, it's just not working. He is a liability. He's worse than a man down at times, and it just seems completely amazing that Barraclough hasn't noticed it. And I don't know, maybe half time in the game yesterday was the moment that Barraclough, you know, the penny finally dropped, you know, maybe 3 or 4 games later than it should have, that McDonald just can't play in that position, and that's why he made the substitution. But I wouldn't hold my breath. Again, you know, we said about a wee while ago about favourites and guys getting their games. McDonald is a player who should have been dropped ages ago because he's not been cutting it. Again, it might be his fault, it might be Barraclough's fault for playing him out of position, but it's irrelevant. He's ineffective where he's playing. If he's not playing up front, he shouldn't be on the park, and it's as simple as that. In terms of going two up front, if we do eventually go two up front, I'd be more inclined to go for Molt and Fletcher when he gets back. So for me, there's not even really a place in the starting lineup, regardless, for McDonald, whether we go two up top or not.
Joe, I'd be interested to get your thoughts on this. For me, McDonald playing in the midfield, it's clearly not worked, and it's clearly not something that Scott McDonald likes doing. But still, well, professionalism would surely kick in and you put in full effort and show a bit of desire. He sulks about the park and looks pretty disinterested, and that's certainly not a good sign, and it shouldn't really encourage us if we do change up from this 4-5-1 to include Scott McDonald in the future plans.
Well, I think Barra Club's made the decision based on what he deemed to be a tactical masterstroke against Rangers. In the two games against Rangers, obviously, that was where Skippy first kind of got pushed into that role and proved to be effective in it. And I think he's just tried to roll with that into this season, thinking that that was going to bear fruit. And in the couple of games, obviously, if you look at how influential both Johnson and Ainsworth were, Skippy was quite good at bringing them into play from that position. But that was just two games against what has to be said was a woeful Rangers team. Now the situation's, you know, sort of a changed. We've went 7 games in the season. He keeps trying, it keeps persisting with it, and it's clear that Skippy's no cut out to play that role. So he's got to change either the personnel or he's got to change the shape. And I think personally, I think it's more to do with the personnel, because I think you need a creative spark in the centre of the field to bring the two wingers into the game. Otherwise, for somebody like, especially Ainsworth's worse than a man doing it if you've not got a creative player that's actually going to bring him into play. So I think, unfortunately, you know, Skippy's got to fall by the wayside, and probably I would, as much as Buster doesn't like it, I would probably be willing to persist with the sort of a 4-5-1, bringing the two PC wingers into the game. But we need to have a creative spark in the middle, and it's certainly not him.
Who would it be then, Joe?
Well, I think, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens with Grimshaw. Just in the evidence of 5 minutes, I know it's easy to get excited about a player over 5 minutes, and maybe we were like sort of treated to a player that actually like did something for 5 minutes yesterday, as opposed to a player that was in the park or in midfield that did nothing for 85 minutes before it. But Grimshaw could be the answer. I don't know.
For all accounts, though, the guy is a midfielder, a central midfielder, a sitting midfielder. You know, I've heard him described as. So, if that's his job, and he's, you know, as you say, he's a sitting midfielder, I think in that sort of Skippy position, you're looking for a number 10, basically. You know,
you're looking at maybe pushing Dom Thomas into the middle or something like that. Or are you?
I've said before, I think it was to Big Matty, I've said before, I'd like to see him in there. I'm sure he agreed at the time. Mm-hmm. Again, can we rely on somebody as young as Don Thomas? But again, if he's good enough, let's see what happens. So it could be something like that. And again, if that works, and the 4-5-1 works out that way, that would obviously be great. But a bit like Jay says, I'd be more inclined to see Fletcher Moult. That would be something I'd be looking forward to.
But the danger, I think, with doing that is that Ripley persists with punting long balls up to the forward two, and then you've got a couple of wingers that may as well not be on the park.
Again, that's a fair enough point as well, but that's something that, you know, Barakoff would have to say, you know, Stevie Hamill, Josh Law, you know, Steve McManus, Louis Lang, you just have to come looking for the ball. If we're going to try and play it for the back, it has to be instilled in the team rather than you know, just blaming the goalkeeper for a punt long. Don't get me wrong, there was a point yesterday where I think we were defending a corner, and he got a hold of the ball, and Louis Moult or somebody was just up there himself, and he just punted it straight up the park. Everybody was about 30 yards out, and he punted straight up the park, and all that happened was the Ross County centre half heeled it back then, and Ross County picked up the ball in midfield, and they were, you know, 10 yards inside their half with possession of the ball. I get your point, but that's something that has to be instilled in the team rather than, you know, just saying,
absolutely.
I think from seeing Grimshaw against Bolton and then in his cameo yesterday, though, there's certainly more about him than just a defensive player. I don't think he'll be in there to tidy up. I think he could play well beyond Keith Lasley. And he said himself that he would like to chip in with a few goals and get forward. So I think he could be a real asset to the midfield. I think the problem is, for me, at the back, and you're talking about Conor Ripley playing the ball long, there seems to be a real lack of leadership especially in the back four, no one seems to talk in there. They lost a goal yesterday and the heads drop, the goalkeeper kicks the ball back into the net, and no one's G'ing them up or are kind of taking ownership in there, and that's a bit concerning. I said to you guys yesterday, there's three very experienced players in the park in the first half, McDonald, McManus and Stevie Hamill, and two out of three, sorry, Keith Lasley, so there was four of them, but two out of four I wouldn't have had on the park. McManus, as Buster has already alluded to, was really, really poor, and McDonald contributed absolutely nothing. But you're wanting these guys to be G'ing up the other guys in the team and guiding them through games. Otherwise, Stephen McManus, I don't think we're going to get much better than a 6 out of 10 from him at any stage. But if he's using his experience and talking guys like Lang through the game, then he'll be he's a great player to have about, but he's not doing that. So I think that's one of the root causes of our problems just now.
100% agree. If you watch that goal again, have a right good look at that goal. It is honestly terrible. McManus should have moved into that position and headed that ball away. Instead, he took a step towards the incoming player, tried to sort of put his hands round his back to touch the player, and the player just ran right through him. Stevie Hamill came across for his man and tried to get it, and two of the three of them just went down. The ball hit, I think, the Ross County player, came across the goal, and they kicked it into the net. It was shocking, to be fair.
Well, just to even pick up on the aftermath of the goal, just what Sparrow was saying there about a lack of leadership. I mean, you don't want your players to be, you know, shouting and bawling at each other all the time, but I mean, what was noticeable at the game was the fact that we lost what was a really, really poor goal, and then everybody just kind of stood, you know, quietly looking at each other, you know, like lost little boys. There was nobody, you know, pointing out the mistakes or shouting or anything like that. It was just kind of accepted that they had conceded, and they kind of just trudged back into position. And that was disappointing. You want to see a reaction. If you'll concede a really, really poor goal, you want to see, you know, the other players around, you know, getting angry about it and pointing out the mistake and trying to, as Sparrow says, G people up. And instead, it was just kind of a lacklustre sort of, we look around, all right, they've scored, like, we better go up and take kick off now.
To be fair, I mean, I think with Stephen McManus has been a bit of a bomb scare for the last year and a half, really. And I think Louis Lang just doesn't look like he's playing with any confidence at present. I think it was the right thing to drop him the other week. I mean, I'd be interested to find out if Kieran Kennedy had a knock or anything like that, because there's certainly no reason why he should have been dropped after effectively, you know, showing up the defence in a clean sheet the other week. And I think until Lang can prove that he's playing with confidence again, he shouldn't have been anywhere near the team.
See, the other thing for me, I know it can sometimes be counterproductive to have players screaming at each other, but we had a fair few warning shots early on in the game with balls across the box that we weren't dealing with. You know, we seem to concede goals from set pieces every game. We're just atrocious at trying to defend these, but you would hope that they would organise it amongst themselves to try and defend them a bit better. The attacking set piece that we had, the corner kick that came out to Moult in the first half, had obviously been worked on, and Barraclough was saying that he was frustrated that he didn't take it first time. Why are we not working on defending them as well, though?
It's worth pointing out, though, I mean, it was actually quite refreshing for a change to see us actually, you know, try a few training ground moves for like corners and stuff like that. That was one positive from the game, although they didn't quite come off. There was one, you know, I think there was a couple, in fact, of the corners. There was one in particular that was, you know, an absolute ball hair away from being utter perfection. Instead, we lost it and they went up the part on the counter. But it was just really, really good to actually see us actually, you know, we've obviously worked in these things, and it's been a while since we've been able to do that on the park. So that was one positive. But you're right, I mean, we're continually being caught out the same way. I mean, the goal that they scored, because of where we sat up the other end, I didn't get a great view of it, and it was so I don't know, it just seemed to be such a weak effort by McManus. The one thing I actually wanted to see in the highlights was whether he'd been fouled. And when I watched him and realised that, no, he actually just was that bad, it was quite disappointing.
The thing is, how many times do you need to lose the same goal before you actually learn? That just kind of concerns me a wee bit. There must be teams that watch us. We kind of talked before that you couldn't imagine that Ross County had any fear going to Firth Park yesterday, but they must watch and know exactly where our weak spot is in the defence. He just goes straight through us. It's, they're that powder puff. They really need to work and defend, especially cross balls, because that's just happening week in, week out. And against a physical Ackies team next week, we could be heading for another disaster at New Douglas Park. So we'll move on and kind of talk about that a wee bit. Jay, I don't know whether recent results, we knew they had to go Barraclough's way. He's got 4 points out of six in his last two league games. He's helped us through in the League Cup, albeit undeservedly so. I still think that he's in borrowed time, or he needs a few good results to kind of consolidate his position. Perhaps it's the case that managers like Jackie McNamara, Gary Locke took a wee bit of pressure off himself yesterday with the win, are going to be under more scrutiny. But Barraclough's position seems under threat from where I'm sitting. I don't know what you're feeling on the situation is.
I don't think it's under threat. I think that, you know, you could say that there's Motherwell, that the pressure's starting to mount slightly. You know, there's obviously been Motherwell fans who, in fact, I think there's been Motherwell fans who have wanted him out since, you know, their bets went down when they wanted Mitchell van der Gag in the first place. You know, there's been a couple of Motherwell fans who have not actually wanted him, have wanted him out from the start. There's been others who've kind of then wanted him out after last season. There'll be others now who will be beginning to ask questions. I certainly am, as I've said. I think he's got a, you know, I've always said that I thought that the mess that McCall left was much, much worse than perhaps we considered at first. I think he's had a really tough job. I think you've got to accept that he did keep us up last season and did really well with those playoff games. But you know, I'm still asking a lot of questions because he's making the same mistakes, he's picking the same players, he's playing the same systems, he's just making the same constant errors over and over again. And they're not just errors that, you know, maybe, you know, like your possession isn't as great as it should be. I mean, he's making errors that are costing us points. So again, it goes into Saturday and you're thinking, well, if he persists with starting McDonald in that position, then there is a good chance we will not, you know, create much, and therefore we'll be in quite a good position to lose the game. You know, we've been talking about, you know, or do we go 4-4-2 or do we go 4-5-1? We need to concentrate on having 11 players in the park that are actually playing in the first place. We're not even playing a 4-5-1 at times. It's a 4-4-1, which is McDonald, just as sort of a cameo appearance occasionally. So, you know, he really, really needs to get a grip on what it is he's actually trying to do on the park. We need to get, as you said, you know, quite a settled side. A side that has players playing in the positions that they can actually, you know, be effective in. And we need to stop just, you know, signing players and then signing players to replace those signings and then and so on and so on. It's all a bit ramshackle, it's all a bit, you know, all over the place at the moment. And it's really hard to kind of pinpoint what direction we're going in. And that was all right last season because, you know, he just came in, he was dealing with McCall's mess, he was doing that well, still trying to keep us up. But this is now his squad. We're now a good few games into the season and it's still really difficult to quite work out what it is he's trying to achieve, what he's trying to do, who he wants to play. You know, it's quite concerning that we're now going into this game at Ackies. It'll be a really tough game. It's obviously a derby. They'll be up for it. And I just don't, I'm not confident because you just don't really have a clue whether Barraclough has a clue.
If you listen to the edited version of this podcast, it will make absolutely no sense. But, Joe, how would you think that we'll cope with the artificial surface at Hamilton, given that Lesbury ditched the plans for a grass pitch over the summer?
How will we cope with artificial surface? It depends what sort of team he puts it. If you put Stevie Hamill in the team, I'd be worried about Stevie Hamill picking up an injury. that's the concern I've got with plastic surfaces, especially as you've got a couple of players in the team who, you know, have suffered injuries last season. Marvin Johnson doesn't seem to be he seems to get injured quite frequently as well. So I seem to remember De Hino get injured last season at Aki's and have to come off.
Yeah, he got injured in the 2-0 game quite early on.
Aye, but so get into the Aki's game. I mean, I think the big area of concern, I mean, I've mentioned it before as well, is what he does in terms of his options in the centre of the midfield. I think that's where the creative spark has got to come in our team. I think, looking at, you know, Barraclough's position at present, I think it's really difficult for any, you know, sort of an up-and-coming manager when they come into Scotland, because they've almost got two sort of a conflicting sort of a parts of their job. One is winning football games, and the other is blooding youth players, certainly in the peripheral clubs in Scotland. I think the thing that I'm frustrated about with Barraclough is especially his treatment of Jack Leach. You know, I think I'd be looking, you know, on the balance of it, it's either got to be Grimshaw or Leach that start in the centre of the park.
I'd be starting both and dropping Taylor and McDonald's.
So that's, if we make a positive change like that, then who knows, it could definitely fall in our favour. But if we persist with the way it's been the last couple of weeks, then no, I don't really hold out much hope for a victory there, and anything we get is a bonus.
Basta, it's just been such an unhappy place for us to go since Hamilton returned to the top flight, lost in penalties in the League Cup, New Year's Day 5-0, 2-0 at the tail end of last season, and what really could have been 5 or 6 again. Got to think the tide can turn. They're just in the back of a heavy defeat against St Johnstone. They'll be looking to bounce back, and it seems to be a fixture that they can always get themselves up for. They seem desperate to beat Motherwell, whereas the feeling doesn't seem to be very mutual.
Yeah, you're right there. Maybe it's about time that, you know, we started acting like, you know, that is a local derby, because it doesn't really seem to be like that from a local point of view.
I think they've certainly got themselves up for it. They always take a very decent, loud support to Hamilton. It's just the product on the pitch that kind of depresses us a bit.
Yeah, you're right there. And as you says, you know, it's been a horrible place to go any time I've been, you know, we've been awful, to be honest with you. That's really why I've made plans for Saturday, and I've decided I'm not going to go to the football either, because it's not something that I look forward to be fair. So
it doesn't help as well that Douglas Park, the seats are all covered in pigeon shit as well.
Well, with the steward and all that on my seat, it doesn't make any difference. So I noticed that Motherwell didn't reply to my tweet about the steward in my seat either. I'm wearing my jeans get absolutely bogging on Saturday. I had places to be.
Aye, I mean, that is worth pointing out that it is a bit of a, like, what is it, that when the seats have obviously been broken at the playoff game, and then they've obviously drilled them back in and then just left the piles of dirt and debris just sitting for Motherwell fans to get covered in.
Yeah, I'll be tweeting them.
Maybe
I'll be tweeting them again
to help bring back memories of that playoff. But see, when we're talking about back to Taylor again, unfortunately, but Taylor's come in on loan from Reading in the Championship, obviously a fairly established, you know, big club in England, but they were on Sky the other day and they don't seem to have a massive squad. If you're not good enough for Reading to get anywhere near their first team, is that the kind of player we should be looking to bring in loan at the expense of our younger players? Where, as we've already pointed out, we've got players that can play in that position. How do you go about terminating a loan? That's basically what I sat last night thinking. It really annoyed me, the fact that Barraclough has brought this guy in. He's playing him despite his poor performances, and he's surely seen him, well, of how little he's seen of him in the games that he's played, surely should be a sign that he doesn't come into the team and replace a young boy trying to make it. I'm actually thinking that we need to repair some of the damage of the transfer window, some of the players that have come in. Can you move them on rather quickly? I think that might need to be the case in some instances.
The thing that I think with Sparta is the it really annoys me when I see the fact that we're wasting our efforts blooding other people's players for them, giving them game time and not giving our own players game time, especially in the centre of midfield, because Keith Lasley, he can only keep going for so long. Every season Keith Lasley gets slower, and he's got to have more off games and he's got to have more time in the sidelines. So we need to be concentrating our efforts and blooding a good centre midfield for the future. Otherwise, we're just going to rely on getting lucky with loan deals every single season.
I wouldn't be surprised if the idea of terminating the loan of somebody like Jake Taylor wasn't something that has crossed Barraclough's mind, because, you know, we've said it before, I think that there's a large portion of regret seems to underpin most of our transfer dealings at the moment. You know, we signed Nathan Thomas, oh wait, he's not actually good enough, we'll bring in Marvin Johnson. You know, we signed David Clarkson, oh he's not actually good enough, we'll bring in Theo Robinson. We've signed Jake Taylor, oh he's not good enough, we'll bring in Grimshaw. It just seems to be this recurring theme, and it's unsustainable. You can't actually run a football club like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, now that Grimshaw's came in, and, you know, I'm not sure how far away Pearson is, but once Pearson's back and, you know, you've got Leach there, I wouldn't be surprised if Taylor, you know, drops out of drops onto the bench and perhaps out of the squad, and you perhaps, you know, goes the same way as Nathan Thomas, because it seems to be, you know, part of the way we currently do things. We bring in players who turn out to be dross, and then we just kind of let them hang about for a wee while and then get rid of them.
The thing is, he's not letting them hang about just now. He's actually letting them hang about on the... at 3 o'clock on a Saturday in the centre of the park.
Aye, of course. I'm kind of hoping that surely to God, just like the McDonald's situation, surely he's realised, because... You know, I mean, again, like everybody, I like Barraclough. Like most people, I like Barraclough. I think he's a decent guy. Obviously, we want him to do well because it means Motherwell will do well. But when you've got a manager of a Premier League side who seems to be like missing, you know, Jake Taylor might be the best player in the world at training, but he's barely on the park on a Saturday. So when you're going into games when McDonald can't play in that role and Jake Taylor's anonymous, you're effectively playing with nine men and you're not going to go anywhere with that. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Grimshaw hasn't been brought in. You know, we were told weeks ago that all we needed was a goalkeeper and a centre mid. We brought in Taylor, we brought in Ripley, and then we went on and made further signings, and that's surely because it's quite obviously because we've realised that the players we've brought in haven't been good enough. I said earlier David Clarkson has been brought in as one of our strikers, and I'll be very surprised if he ever actually plays. And Taylor, I would, you know, now that we've got Grimshaw there, I wouldn't be surprised to see Taylor now kind of just drift off into the distance.
Yeah, you've got to say it's slightly concerning though that We're just packed a squad, and you actually analyse it player by player, and I'm almost in two minds whether we've got stronger over the course of the summer, given when you weigh up all the players that have come in and all the players that go out. I think that there's been more bad than good come in, unfortunately, on early showings certainly.
Well, I'm not too sure, to be honest with you, but it's kind of baffling with this, you know, the midfield Taylor sort of McDonald thing. Jace said he wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, fade away. I wouldn't be surprised to see him play there for the rest of the year, to be honest with you.
Well, it's hard to tell, though, now. I mean, it's...
Yeah, exactly. Barraclough talks a good game, you hear what he says, he seems like a very nice chap, but it just seems set in his ways. And you know, I think when it came to Saturday and McDonald's went off at half time, but I looked up and I seen Robinson on and I says, somebody's went off. the first person I didn't look for was Scott McDonald, put it that way. So maybe you know he's starting to turn, but he just seems a bit set in his ways.
I mean, maybe I should have said, before I said about like McTaylor vanishing into the sunset, maybe I should have said, you know, in an ideal world. But I think that's partly I'm thinking. But McDonald was hooked at half-time. You know, maybe Barraclough is. You know, I mean, a couple of weeks ago we would have said that Dom Thomas probably, you know, Marvin Johnson was his favourite. Dom Thomas wasn't going to get a game, and he's gradually brought in Thomas. You know, we would have said that McDonald would probably play 90 minutes if he's fit, but yeah, he was hooked at half time. So maybe it is just taking him a good bit longer than it really should. But maybe he is starting to realise that, you know, Taylor, there's no point in him even being on the park. McDonald, you know, these are the things you need your manager to tell. Otherwise, you know, by the time he gets it right, we might, you know, top six or whatever it is we're actually aiming for this season might be out of sight. You know, these are the things, if he's a good manager, he'll realise quickly and he'll adapt. And so far he's got really low marks on that, because he's not adapting, he's not making the changes he needs to make until weeks later. So eventually I wouldn't be surprised to see Taylor vanish.
It must be said, the results this weekend show you just how difficult it's going to be to get into the top six, with Inverness beating Hearts, Dundee winning again against Thistle, St Johnston, they seem to be in a good run, certainly at home. Their 4-1 win over Accies. Accies are still in the top six at the moment, so it's going to be very difficult. We'll need to really find our feet quickly if we're even going to challenge for a top six finish.
I don't even think that's on the agenda this season. I hate to be dour, but the product in the park has been absolutely brutal. But I think the positive sign is that Partick Thistle and Kilmarnock look similarly brutal. So I think we'll be safe for relegation.
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
That's certainly good enough for me.
The last minute goal yesterday, we put out a wee question on Twitter, your favourite Motherwell last gasp goal. We get plenty of responses. We'll ask the guest first, and then we'll go through the best of them. So on you go, Joe.
Me? Best last guest, minute goal? Was it maybe Pataudry?
Was that?
Do you mean maybe? It's not a quiz question.
Correct.
As far as I'm concerned, there's only one answer. Pataudry.
Well, that was certainly many other people's as well, but I'll go through the best of them. We've actually got a lot more than I expected, I must say, so just bear with me a wee second. Plenty.
Well, I would say, just like, you know, because it's more recent in memory and stuff, Pataudry has to be up there with me as well, but the only other one I can really, before you run through the examples, the only other one I can really think of would be Scott McDonald against Celtic.
That certainly was mentioned.
Was there one where am I imagining things, but did Kenny Wright no score a last minute goal against Inverland?
I think you may be imagining. Yep.
Mark Fitzpatrick in the cup against Hearts.
Well, that was
quite late on. I'll take that one.
Wavy _D went for Mark Fitzpatrick against Hearts CIS semi final.
To be fair, I don't think that beats a Kenny Wright last minute winner at Dunfermline.
Did you just imagine?
No, it wasn't at Dunfermline, it was at Fir Park, I'm sure.
He scored against Aberdeen quite late on a 1-0 win, but I can't remember if he scored ever again, to be honest.
No, I think you might be right. I think that's the goal that I'm thinking of.
Laura Gowans went for Lukas Jukovic in the 6-6 game with Hibs. Mark Benes, John Philibin's late equaliser in the Scottish Cup. Tannadice, that was a 2-2 draw, so that would be 94-95.
It certainly was a while ago. I think we lost the replay 1-0, do we not, for Pat?
Yeah, Brian Welsh.
I think we did that.
Tom Hately against the Dens. That was Dunks Maguire that went for that one. That was a cracker. Great celebrations that day.
Also, that wasn't a last minute winner, that was a last minute losing goal.
It was a last gasp goal. Neil Hartness says it's not his favourite, which means he's answered the question wrong, but we'll let him away with it. Stephen McManus against Partick Thistle to win 4-3 two seasons ago. Then he also went for Tom Hatley against St Mirren. I think that was the second or third game of the season, 2011.
Yeah, that one's not bad as well.
He then went for McFadden versus Livingston. Neil's got quite a lot of favourite last gasp goals, it must be said, against Livingston in the League Cup. I think that made it 2-0. That was a few seasons ago again.
I honestly can't really think any off the top of my head. I know you're going through them on them. No, that one. But I can't really think it off the top of my head.
Jeremy McDermott, Ray Farthingham, who managed to virtually empty Ibrox single-handedly in 1988? Question mark.
Ah, the subway does that on a regular basis.
And that's pretty much us from there. Some good examples, some good memories. Thoughts ahead of Aki's next week? Is it a chance to extend their run, or are you anticipating a bit more doom and gloom at New Douglas Park, guys?
Well, I think that it kind of sums up our season when you're considering a run, having just drawn at home at Ross County. But I'd be perfectly happy with a point on Saturday, because things are really quite, woeful at the moment.
I would say that a point would be great, but I'm the eternal optimist, sorry. So, I think we could pull something at the back here.
I think we're due a good performance. So, whether that's going to come on Saturday, I don't know. But here's hoping it comes on Saturday. But I'm preparing myself for the worst. And if we get anything out of the game, I'll be absolutely over the moon.
Personally, I just hope we've learned lessons of how much we've been overpowered in recent visits. He needs to realise that they're a physical side and we need to battle with them. Also, the boy Crawford looks like an absolute brilliant player any time I've seen him, so we'll need to contain him as well. Anyway, on that happy note, you've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following Naki's game in the July next Monday. Until then, thank you, goodbye. Woke up again to my chagrin. I'm getting sick and tired of feeling sick and tired again. I tried to write, cause I got the right to make it look as if I'm doing something with my life. Couldn't find a vein, it's always the same. Manager to ease the panic and the shock of firing. I woke up again, drank the gun, got deep. All the road is long, if you stay strong, you'll get my life. You defeat and the flame, probably betray. Again, to my evil twin, the mirror's fucking ugly, and I'm sick and tired of looking at him. Been up all night, I probably picked a fight, cause I can't help it, I'm a bastard in the morning. So I try to write, I think I have the right, a little drinking.